isn't it a great week? We get to celebrate those that have lost their lives fighting for our freedom. How many appreciate the freedom we have in America today and those that paid the way? And so if you have a loved one or you have someone that served that lost their lives in battle, man, this weekend is a time we want to celebrate them and you, and thanks so much for, and obviously we have folks in our church that are in the military, and thanks for serving in our country. And I pray we never have to celebrate. I pray we can celebrate you on a Veterans Day, not a Memorial Day, right? And I'm so glad you're here. We're live streaming our gathering here. Would you give it up for those watching online right now? We've got people watching online, CBS, as well as correctional facilities across the state of Alaska. Our prayer is that we would be in every single correctional facility on a weekly basis through our live stream. And so we're super excited about that opportunity we have here. We're in a new series. My name's Mark, and we're in a new series today called Core Attitudes. And you know, 7 years ago, True North Church was Fairbanks First Assembly of God. We were under 100 people. And this week, there'll be anywhere from 1,400 to 1,500 people that will worship with us, that'll come and enjoy what God is doing at True North Church through our five gatherings. And so today, this series really is about how do we do what we do, and why do we do what we do? How do we grow from 100 to 1,500 in 7 years? And you know, there's three types of people in this room tonight. There's those who make it happen. There's those who let it happen. And those that wake up someday and go, what happened? There's those three types of people. And we're make it happen people at True North. And when I say that, is we're people who believe, we pray as if everything depends upon God, but we work as if everything depends upon us. And so we're gonna work hard, we're gonna make it happen. And so this Core Attitude series is three parts really. It's we call it at True North, we call it there's orthodoxy, which is right thinking. And that's where, you know, so orthodoxy is right thinking, orthopraxy is right actions. Because we think if you change your thinking, your actions change. And then if you change your thinking, your actions change, it changes your feelings, your orthopathy. And so this series on our core values, or excuse me, our core attitudes, really are based upon our practices, our how we think, and then how we act, and how we hope people feel. Because there's people that walk in here on a weekly basis that go, there's just a vibe or an energy or a feel here. How many guys, when you walked in, you felt there's love in this place? And there's an energy, and we call that energy the Holy Spirit. We believe that. But today I want to hit on one of our core attitudes, because we believe destiny is not a matter of chance, but of choice. There's choices we make. And so this series really is, it's core to who we are. That's why we call it core attitudes. We have core values on the wall, and we're a Bible church, a spirit-empowered church, a family church, a church for our city, a church for Alaska, and a global church, and we're an equipping church. Those are our core values, but then we have attitudes. They're kind of the chip on the shoulder, the swagger through how we do things. And our first core attitude I want to talk about today is we'll do anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus. Say anything, number one. Anything. We'll do anything. Now, we won't, short of sin. We're not going to sin, but we'll do anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus. We'll do what nobody is doing to reach people nobody is reaching. We believe, in fact, when I was interviewed 7.5 years ago to come and pastor this church, I remember I'm sitting in one of the board members' homes, and the board's all there, and they're asking questions. And one of the board members says, Mark, only 5,000 people out of our 100,000 people in our region, maybe 10,000, he said, 1 in 10 people attend church. He says, if you're a salesman, you'd say that's a target-rich environment. There's a lot of people. There are a lot of people in our city and in our region who need to know Jesus. And so we'll do anything short of sin. Now, what does that look like? And again, our orthodoxy, our right thinking influences our action. So what do we believe? As a Bible church, there's a few things that are important. If you're taking notes on your worship guide, take notes. Or if you have the YouVersion Bible app, you could take your camera on your phone and just go over the QR code here, and it'll open up the notes there. But a couple things we believe as a Bible church is, number one, we believe everyone has both an expiration date and an eternal destiny. Yep. The Bible says it's appointed once, or the wages, The Bible says it's appointed once for men to die, and after that to face judgment. We all have an expiration date. How many of you guys know that milk in your refrigerator has an expiration date on it? Well, there's a, you know, how many guys, you know, and you, not that when people get sour, they're close to their expiration date, but that sometimes is the case, right? But the reality is we all have an expiration date. We all have a time where we're gonna pass from this earthly tent the Bible says we live in, and we're gonna face judgment. Why? Because we believe the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life. So we believe this, there's an expiration date, but there's also an eternal destiny. And we believe the choices and decisions people make when they're still on planet Earth affect their destiny. We believe that. That's why we do anything short of sin. The other thing that we truly believe as a Bible church is we believe that as Christ followers, we all have a testimony and a witness. When I say testimony, now some of I remember growing up, you know, I was the kid, I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, I didn't go with the girls that did. My dad always called me boring because I never dated anyone. And I just was that kid that got straight A's and I kind of smooth sailed. And there was, I didn't have a lot of those habits or hangups some people have. And some people say, well, that's not a testimony. I'm thinking like, no, that's a testimony. Yeah. And how do you want to know? Some people's testimony is, you know, my father-in-law's testimony is he was in gangs, he was in drugs, he was in alcohol, he was in prison. But God reached down and saved him. And how many want to know that testimony is just as valid as the testimony of someone who didn't slide so far from God? But how many want to know sin is sin? And we all have an expiration date and an eternal destiny. But a testimony is this. A testimony is the attention, is what God has done in us and for us. I think of the blind man in John chapter 9. Verse 25, they're trying to figure out theologically, well, were your parents sinful? Is that why you were born blind? Or were you sinful? And they're asking all these questions. And the blind man finally said in verse 25 of chapter 9, he says, I don't know if it was my parents' sin or my sin. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. How many know we all have a testimony? And the Bible says we overcome the enemy by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We all have a testimony. That's what God has done in our lives, but we also have what we call a witness. A witness is the attention we bring to that testimony. And at True North Church, we believe this. Every single one of us in here who has a relationship with Jesus, every one of us has a testimony and a witness. And the challenge that we want to propose to all of us is at True North, it's not the pastoral staff that does anything short of sin. All of us will do anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus. Why? We have a testimony and we have a witness. And I believe this, all of us also have what we call an orbit. If you've gone through Grow Trek, you've learned about this. We all have an orbit. That's our sphere of influence. That's the people around us every single day. And that orbit's made up of three things: our bed, our buck, and our burden. When we say bed, you know, we all have a place where we sleep at night. Now, some of us might live alone, but many of us have a family. When we say bed, we're talking about the people that you call home, people around you, the people that you live with, the people you're nearest, and then your buck, where you work. For some of you, it could be the military base. For some of you, it could be a hospital. For some of you, maybe you're retired. It's the people around you that are also using their AARP coupons when they go get something at Denny's. No. It's your bed, your buck, and it's your burden. When I say burden, some of you are hockey families, you know, and so you care about hockey because your kids care about hockey, or maybe it's music and you care about those things, or maybe it's soccer, or whatever your burden, maybe you're into motorcycles and you ride with people. I love biking, and I have a Tuesday night group that I'm with that are a bunch of people, and it was fun last year when they didn't know how to treat so the question they ask, like, so what do you do for a living? And I go, I'm a pastor. That changes a lot of conversations. Oh, I'm sorry, I just said, you know, and they cuss around you or whatever. And now it's the second year they forget I'm a pastor and I'm just one of the guys that's out there, but I don't talk the way they talk. I have a passion. It's where my burden leads me. Where does your burden lead you? Because you have that sphere of influence, your bed, your buck, and your burden. We all have it. And why is that important? We have a testimony and a witness. And guess what, friends? There are people who have an expiration date and their eternal destiny right now isn't heaven. And guess what? If we're in close proximity to those people, we have responsibility to impact those people in our orbit. So that's kind of biblically, again, that's our orthodoxy. That's what we believe. We truly believe people have an eternal destiny, and we also believe they have an expiration date. And we believe that God has put us on the planet with a testimony and a witness in a sphere of influence called an orbit. That's orthodoxy. That's what we believe. Now, how does that change? I'm going to walk through in the next 30 minutes eight principles that would be orthopraxy. They would be, why does True North believe this or do this? What are practices we practice? The first one I'm going to walk through here in one of our core truths on anything short of sin is Jesus is our message. We are not the platform for political messaging. You know, although I do tell people who I'm voting for from time to time because I want people to know who I'm voting for. But I'll tell you what, right now who we are. We are people who are going to tell people about Jesus. Almost every single weekend at our gatherings, we'll close with what we call ABCs. We've all sinned. A, B, we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and C, we confess Jesus as Lord of our life and we'll be saved from our sin. We close that way every day. And I remember Pastor Bo, was on staff with us for 6 years, and Pastor Bo says, Mark, why do you share the gospel message the same way every Sunday? Doesn't that get boring for people? And I'm thinking, no, I'm training 1,500 people a week how to share Jesus with their friends. A, B, C. Because True North does not desire to have one person who's gifted at reaching hundreds of people with Jesus. Rather, we want hundreds of people to reach one person for Jesus. Amen. We believe Jesus is our message. And so whatever we preach on, we'll bring it back at the end to share how that truth points back to Jesus. He is our message. Christ crucified, Christ died, Christ buried, Christ put in the grave, and him resurrected. That's our message. Because the Bible says if Christ didn't die and wasn't resurrected from the dead, then we should eat, drink, or be merry, for tomorrow we die. But guess what? He did raise from the dead, so we have a message, and his name is Jesus. That's our message. Our second truth is reaching those who don't know the message of Jesus is our mission. Reaching those who don't know the message of Jesus is our mission. It's what we do. Charlie Brown once I saw this comic strip where Charlie Brown was shooting target practice in his backyard, and Charlie Brown, Lucy was watching him on the deck, and Charlie Brown would pull back the arrow and shoot at the fence. He'd run over to the fence and grab a bucket of paint, and he'd paint a red circle around where the arrow landed on the fence. And then he'd pull out the arrow and he'd walk over and he'd shoot at the fence again, and he'd run over and he'd paint a circle around the arrow. And Lucy's going, Charlie, what are you doing? And Charlie goes, target practice. And Lucy goes, Charlie, you're supposed to draw the circle first, then pull back the arrow and shoot. He goes, well, if I do it my way, I never miss. And she goes, if you do it your way, you never get it. You got to know what your target is. Got to know what the mission is. And the mission at True North, the mission of True North is to reach people far from Jesus. You might say, well, Mark, and here's why this is important. The message never changes. The message never changes. The mission never changes. What's the message? Jesus and him crucified, buried, rose again from the dead, and sits at the right hand of God the Father right now. That is the message. The mission is to seek and save the lost far from Jesus. Now, why do I say that? Everything else changes. Everything changes but that. The message never changes. The mission never changes. The message never changes. But I'll tell you right now, to be relevant, the manpower will change. The methods will change. The music will change. The address will change. We have 17 acres. on College Road. The address will change. The method, when I say method, on August 22nd, we are going to start two more gatherings on the College Road. We're gonna have six gatherings on Sunday, one on Wednesday night. We're gonna have seven weekly gatherings. Half of our 1,400 to 1,500 people come at 10 and 11:30 on Sunday morning. The only way we can grow is to have more space. And so we're gonna have a second campus. And I can just tell you right now, with seven gatherings a week, there's no way as humans we have the bandwidth to preach live all seven gatherings. But if we'll do anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus, it means the method of how we do ministry is going to have to change. And I love the fact that at True North, even now, you don't typically even know who's gonna be preaching because we have multiple people who preach. And quite frankly, most of my staff can preach the paint off the walls better than me. And some of you have been there like, I can't, when they preach, like, wow, it's so good. Because we have an incredible team. But even with the incredible team, we're gonna move to a place where we are so committed to the message and the mission that the method changes. And so on a weekly basis, two to three gatherings will be pre-recorded. And what you see right there on the screen is what you're gonna see when you sit down. There'll be worship, live worship. There'll be a transition. There'll be prayer time. Video announcements are gonna pop in. And you're gonna be watching the video announcements. And then the sermon's gonna start right there on the screen. We live stream. Is that sinful? No. The message is the same. The method's a little different. So five of our seven gatherings will be live, but once a month you might be in a gathering that's going to be pre-recorded and on the screen. Why? Because we wanna get to a place where we can have seven gatherings, eight gatherings, nine gatherings. We can keep adding gatherings if the bandwidth of human energy isn't the problem. What is it? Would anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus? The third truth when it comes to this orthopraxy of anything short of sin is number three, is the bigger we grow, the smaller we must become. The bigger we grow, the smaller we have to become. Now, what's a blessing is we have a smaller sanctuary so we can start new gatherings, and that's great. But there comes a time where you know, if there's 1,500 people, and when we have seven gatherings this fall, there's no way everyone's gonna know each other. And so if you're going to like True North, the bigger we grow, the smaller we become. That's why we say the home plate of True North discipleship is life groups. It's the home plate. You have to grow small with us. The target of our life is mission, which is what? To reach people far from Jesus that don't know his name. That's our target for our ministry. But for you as a Christ follower, home plate for you is I'm gonna get into a small group of people. Why? The bigger we grow, the smaller you must become. Because number four, if you don't grow small, you won't like us growing big. I've had people the last several years go, you know, Pastor Mark, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be at True North anymore because it's too big. And I have friends that pastor some churches that some of our people have gone to, and they go, I hate it when your people come over because they want to be a part. They go, well, we're here because True North's too big. And they're going like, we want to reach the city too. Yep. And I had someone say, Mark, the issue is not the church is too big. The issue is some people's hearts aren't as big as God's heart, which he doesn't want anyone to come to anyone to be lost, anyone to lose their salvation, or excuse me, not know Jesus. And so if you don't grow small, you won't like us growing big. In fact, we don't wanna be, and we'll talk about this in a few weeks, we don't wanna be a mega church. We wanna have a mega amount of micro churches with a mega vision. In other words, small groups with a passion and a vision to reach a city. And so when we say we'll do anything short of sin, you might say, well, what about us? Well, exactly, life groups, serve. Serve. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. We are contributors at True North, not consumers. I've met some people in my 7 years here, I haven't seen them serve one Sunday, and they're grouchy. It's easy to be, you know, it's easy to be like a football game where there's 22 people doing all the work who need rest being watched by 70,000 people who need exercise. That's football. May that not be the church. I don't know why they made that call. That was a stupid call. You know, if when you're in the game, you're so committed to what's happening on the field, you're not concerned about all the calls. And number five, as we grow big and you grow small, you get a pocket of people called life group. That's why if you haven't signed up for one, get into a life group because that's the core of True North. But as we grow big and you grow small, you must be okay with not knowing everyone. Well, one of the concerns is, Mark, I walk in, I don't know everybody. I'm thinking like, this isn't Cheers. I do hope it's a place we cheer every week. What's one thing we almost always do after we share the ABCs and we pray? Would you give it up for those who gave their life to Jesus right now? And everyone cheers. We'll cheer, but we're not Cheers. In other words, the primary mission of True North is not so that you know everyone's name. It's so everyone knows the name of Jesus. That's our mission. So you have to be okay going to a church where you don't know everybody. But I'll tell you right now, if you're in a life group this session, you jump into a life group the next session, and over the next couple of years, you'll probably meet a whole lot of people. And then you join a serve team, and all of a sudden, you're going to be going, you're Mitchell. Okay, you're Misty. Nice to meet you, Trent. Or maybe you're serving in the cafe, and you're going, oh, man, the Coles are here like five services in the cafe, aren't they? You meet people. The people who don't meet people, what that tells me is you sit in a pew and you get pewy. Number six, are we doing okay? Still like me? So we are. See, sometimes, you know, Mark, why is the church grown? I'm thinking, well, because we're pretty intentional with how we do things and why we do things, and we don't get steered off course very easy, and we back up and we go, okay, and next week we're going to talk about risk. I can't wait to talk about taking faith risks for Jesus. We're Bet the Farm risk takers. You want to be here next week. So talk about that. But number seven, we're a hospital for the sick. Oh, I skipped a couple. I'm sorry. Uh-oh. Numbers, there we go. I got to put one finger on there, not two. My iPad doesn't mess up like that. But number six, our building is not a monument or a museum. It's a means to fulfill the mission. Let's go back to it. We'll do anything short to reach people. We're going to do anything short to reach people for Jesus. Friends, this building and the building we build on College Road, it's not a monument. It is not a museum. It's not a place where, and I know great things happen at churches. I understand that. But you know, we're going to raise $9 million the next 2 years, and we're going to build an incredible building on College Road. But with the cost of building, I'll tell you right now, we're not building a museum. We're not building a monument. We're building a place that's mission critical. Okay, follow me here. We're going to build, some people thought, well, we need to have this in our, and we need to have like the really nice, like commercial this, and we need to have this. I'm thinking like, I'm sorry, but that is probably not going to reach anyone for Jesus. Right. We're going to build a building that is designed to reach people for Jesus. When I first moved here, there was closets in this church I didn't have a key to because there was storages for certain groups. And I'm like, wait a second here. We're not building storage units for people who think their ministry is the only ministry the church should have. We're building a church to reach people for Jesus. Yep. And so we have to understand that we're building mission critical spaces because we don't have a monument or museum. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about what? Reaching people for Jesus. And you might say, well, what about this group? We have life groups all over the city for people. Get plugged into a life group. That's what it's about. And so the new spaces, it's mission critical. Say mission critical. In other words, so when you see the plan someday, we don't have the finances to build everything, but I'll tell you right now, we're going to build a really nice sanctuary, a really nice foyer with a nice coffee shop so we don't have to turn the foyer around. You guys can actually buy a cup of coffee while the next service starts, hang out with people. There'll be small groups happening in the cafe all during the gatherings. There'll be all this space, and there's gonna be an incredible kids area. And then eventually, we'll be able to remodel the space we're gonna move into as our second campus, and there'll be some adult spaces and chapels and all that. But I'll tell you right now, what we're building in phase one is mission critical space. It's part of our DNA. To do anything short of sin, to reach people far from Jesus. Number seven, or Jesus says this, when Jesus heard it said unto them, here's the context. Jesus had called some people to be his followers. He's then hanging out with sinners and tax collectors, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious people of the day, were like, why is he hanging out with those people? Those people, I mean, we're the important ones. Why is he hanging out with them? And he says, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Another verse says it this way, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. His primary mission was not a museum. It was a soul-winning station. It was a lifeguard station. In fact, it's very similar to number seven. I don't think we have a number seven. I'm doing this to show you I'm not perfect like a couple of you, like my wife thought I was. No, just kidding. We're a hospital for the sick. Not a hotel or country club for saints. We're a hospital for the sick. Yeah. Last Sunday, we had someone come for the first time. And she came because she's walking through a traumatic event in her life. And someone said, True North is a place you need to go because they have care groups to help you. And she came in and she looked at Pastor Sonia at the end of our gathering. She says, I found my new home church because it's a hospital. And it's interesting, Thomas Aquinas, I believe, is the first early church father who said that. He said, the only organization on planet Earth that does not exist for the benefit of its members is the church. Say it again. The only organization on planet Earth that does not exist for the benefit of the members is the local church. And I think there are churches out there who think that the church is a country club for members. And almost rate your membership by how much you can give and those types of things, rather than a church that says, no, we're missional. We care about the mission of Jesus. Our target is not like, well, we hope we get it and shoot a target out there. No, our mission is the message of Jesus for people who've not heard him. And then our method is let's train people in life groups to raise people up and disciple them. But we are not a hotel or country club for saints. Membership has privileges. It's called heaven. But if you're a member or you're a part of True North, what you're saying is, I've signed up to serve. I've signed up to partner. I've signed up to help Jesus win in this city, to make heaven richer and hell a whole lot poorer, in Jesus' name. Why? Because at True North, we're contributors, not consumers. If you haven't been through Grow Track, I want to encourage you. Go through Grow Track. We'll teach you how to be a part of who we are so you can be a part of the saving, life-saving hospital side of ministry, reaching more people for Jesus. In fact, and that's where, again, I read those verses earlier. But number eight, the eighth point or principle today is, we are not a church who believes the answer to the world's needs are faith professionals. Rather, those who profess a faith. Now, let me explain that. We don't believe that faith professionals are the answers, but everyone who professes a faith. There's a study recently, the Growing Churches in America, and they said there's one thing that's similar. It doesn't matter what denomination they are. It doesn't matter what color or race that would be dominant in their church. It doesn't matter what their style of worship is. The one thing all growing churches had was the value that the people in the pew are saints, and they're not just saints, they're lay people and they're lay ministers, and they can be equipped to do everything the pastor does. And here's the difference. If there's 1,500 people at True North Church, which on a weekly basis, that's almost what comes, and sometimes it's over that, how can Mark, Pastor Mark, or how can Pastor Rob or our pastoral staff meet all the needs? We can't. That's why we say, get plugged into a life group. They'll know your name. They'll know the challenges you're going through. They'll know your prayer requests. They'll pray for you when you walk through a marriage difficulty. They'll be at the hospital when someone's there. They'll be in charge of getting meals for you when a baby's born. Why? Because we don't think it's the church's responsibility to do those things. It's your job to do those things. Our job is to equip you. One of our core values is to equip you to do that. Why do I say that again? And I love this truth. Jesus said, Jesus went through the villages and the towns, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing the disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, it says this, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to those disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are what? Few. He's telling the disciples. I mean, they're the professional disciples. They've been the one with Jesus. And what does he tell them? He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What? Part of the goal of True North, again, is that you are the reason True North is effective. I get asked a lot. I mean, 2 years ago, we were the 16th fastest growing church in America. The year before, we were the 26th fastest growing church in America. How'd you grow so fast? I'm thinking, I don't know. We don't have a lot of answers, but there's a whole lot of people who do a whole lot of work for Jesus. It's our serve teams. It's those who invite people to church. It's contributors. Now, why is anything short of sin important? Because people who don't know Jesus are eternal. And they have an eternal destiny, and they have an expiration date. And it's important for us to let them know what that expiration date, important for you to tell people. It's important for all of us. That's why we're doing things short of sin. That's why we'll change the method sometimes. That's why at Easter, if it's a late Easter, we bring out our pink mopeds and put bunnies on them, and we have bunnies on the street corners. They hop your tail in church for Easter, and we do crazy. We'll just do crazy things. Why do we do food trucks for men's events? Because a man... you want a man's heart, get to his stomach. But we'll do those things. Now, where's this come in for you? Will you partner and continue to dream with us to do anything short of sin? Now, maybe you're here today and you say, Mark, I don't even have a relationship with Jesus. Well, guess what? The goal of True North Church is to make sure those who don't know Jesus' name meet Jesus. So if you're here today and you're not in right relationship with Jesus, we always say it's as easy as A, B, C, A, admit you sin. B, believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And C, confess your sins to him. He's faithful and just to forgive you. And to confess him as the Lord of your life. So if you're far from Jesus today, I'd love to pray with you. Bow your heads with me, whether you're online or whether you're in the auditorium today. You're not in right relationship with Jesus, but you'd like to be. Just pray this prayer with me silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. And I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. So would you forgive me for my sin today? I repent of my sin, and I choose today to ask you to be my life leader and my Savior. I confess you today as my Lord and my Savior. Please help me follow you the rest of my life. Help me serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.